If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork, refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer, or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in, all with the style you want and reliability you can count on, so you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex, and we've got another bonus episode for you here with one of my favorite guys to talk to. Very excited to talk about his new book, Killer Influences, which is coming out from IDW's new crime line. It's going to be hitting stores on July 1st. Final order cutoff is going to be on May 25th, so you're going to want to get in orders after you hear us talk about it. But ladies and gentlemen, the writer of the book, Joey Esposito. Joey, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Huge fan.
I'm a huge fan of you. Oh my God, man. This is working out so well. Joey, I love this book. I got an advance chance to check it out. I'm not going to spoil too much because as we're taping, we're still several months out from when it is coming out. But as I mentioned, this is part of IDW's new crime line. To take the big broad view before we get into the specifics about what the book is, what did that mean to you when IDW came to you, or you came to them? I don't know if you're knocking at their door, begging them to let you in.
Oh, I mean, I'm always just like bugging everybody all the time. Like, hey, I'm here. No, but I was so thrilled to be asked to do this because my very first comic when I started self-publishing was a crime noir comic about Bigfoot. And so like crime has been something that I've always loved. I love crime fiction. I love, you know, true crime docs, all that stuff. And sort of have it all come full circle and end up doing a crime book for a real deal publisher was really fun. And also it was, you know, my friend Dave Wilgus was the editor who I had worked with at DC previously. And so to get to work with him again was a blast. And it just came together really nicely.
The IDW crime line, not to talk about the other books, but like there's a wide array of things
Please
that are
talk
happening
about them.
Here. Yeah, let's talk about them. Let's do it. I mean, there's a wide array of different type of books. Like it's not all your detective noir. Mm-hmm. The first thing that frankly for me comes to mind when I think about crime. So What does it mean to you when you hear a crime book? Is it just a book with crime in it, or is there something more to it?
I mean, my initial instinct is to, like you, go to noir because it's just like, you know, Chandler and like that kind of stuff is where like my mind goes. My all-time favorite books are the Scudder books by Lawrence Block. You know, those sort of classic detective novels are what I think of when I think crime fiction. But then you think about crime comics, and it's really, you know, going back even to like the EC Comics days where we think of Tales from the Crypt specifically usually, but you know, they also had a lot of crime specific comics that were bad things happening to the criminals who do these things, or sometimes the criminals getting away, you know? And so like that sort of pushed crime also into this more suspenseful horror adjacent kind of arena, which I think is more where Killer Influences lives within the dichotomy of the IDW crime line. But I think crime is really flexible, and it's often best when it's paired with other genres. And, you know, it's a real elastic genre type that I think could go in any direction.
Well, yours definitely goes in some interesting directions. I don't know how much you want to talk about the plot at this point, but just the broad overview, the widest, broadest overview is that it deals with the intersection of serial killers and true crime serial killer podcasts. What else do you feel comfortable adding at this point, Joey?
I would say this is the book about our current moment in a lot of ways. you know, but I guess plot wise, I would say it's the story of a serial killer who is so good that he's flying under the radar, who teams up with a true crime influencer or wannabe true crime influencer in order to help build his brand, essentially. And hopefully they both become rich and famous in the process. But also, you know, that doesn't seem like a great idea. So really the story is about how their lives just utterly collapse around them by doing this ridiculous idea.
Yeah. And it does get ridiculous. Even in the first issue, it goes in some wild directions. And I love the characters that you've etched out here. But
thanks.
Let me ask you about the true crime podcast thing, because full disclosure, I can't get into it. Like I can't do it. It's too much for me, which is something that I think you touch on a little bit in the first issue here. Mm-hmm. But what is your relationship to true crime podcasts? Do you listen to them? Are you obsessed with them? Do you hate them? Where are you at?
I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with them. I love a good investigative crime podcast. You know, like when Serial happened, like that was like everyone, I was mesmerized. But even shows like Criminal with Phoebe Judge, I think is an excellent, like best case example of what quote unquote true crime can be, in that it's, she always has an interesting angle on what the crime is or what the crime constitutes, and you know, who's sort of the protagonist or is there a protagonist, or these are just the people who got mixed up in this wild thing that happened. But then you have the flip side of what I would say, like exploitative, maybe is the term I would use, that are just going over grisly details without necessarily the victim's best interests in mind, and just sort of like turning it into a horror movie or a slasher movie instead of like treating it like the actual human crime against a human being that it was. And I think there's some people who love the gory details and who really want to like get in the weeds on some stuff, but it's not in a scientific or like investigative way. It's more in like a sick fascination, like you're watching a snuff film way. And that drives me insane. So I definitely don't lean in that direction. But I think there is value to like really solid investigative audio reporting.
Did you don't have to call out names if you don't want to, but did you look to any podcasts in particular? I mean, I know you mentioned Serial, but once you got this project, did you start doing any research and looking into anything?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, my wife is a huge public radio person and a huge communications nerd. So she's very knowledgeable in that sort of media landscape. So I feel like I have a good handle on, you know, the genuine, authentic, investigative sort of side. So really where I was dipping my toes into was the other side of things, which is YouTubers and streamers and social media influencers who, you know, visit crime scenes or just like speculate wildly with no evidence. And, you know, if you speak authoritatively about anything on the internet, someone's going to believe you. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's a huge problem in every aspect of life on the internet. But I find it particularly, I don't want to put judgment to it, but it's scary to me to see the lack of empathy in some people when they're talking about horrific things that have happened to other human beings. And so that's sort of, that was a well of research that I waded into and felt like I got a good enough grasp on things to be able to continue my work, but I definitely couldn't linger there for too long.
I'll offer up some judgment. I think what I have experienced of it, it drives me absolutely up the wall. And part of the reason I can't get into it is people treating real crimes like they're speculating about what's next for the MCU, when it's like people died here. Right. Also, you are not an investigator. You've watched a bunch of TV episodes of Law and Order, and then you're going into it, and it's gross.
Exactly. And, you know, have you watched Only Murders in the Building?
Yes.
Okay. I love that show, but the way that they show them like producing their podcasts where they're like openly speculating and releasing episodes on like the speculation part of it without like no vetting, no fact checking, none of that is happening. It drives me insane. And like,
it's funny. Suspension
of disbelief. That's fine. But like that is how I feel like there are some actual real people who are doing things that way. And that's a huge problem.
I was just going to say that the thing that drives me insane and the reason I can't watch Only Murders in the Building is the way they actually produce the podcast, because they're like waving around a little recorder and then Steve Martin will get up and be like, and that's where the murder happened. And I get to an end of the episode, like, what were you recording? What does this podcast sound like?
It's really funny. I love it. I also like that they haven't had to pivot to video yet.
So. Soon they'll do it. Next season they'll do a video podcast on Netflix or something. I mean, to keep talking about podcasts, I say this as somebody who is doing a podcast with you right now. They're not the most visually compelling thing in the world. So how do you make sure something like that works in a comic book? Or is that up to the artist at this point?
I'm both. I mean, hopefully, you know, we do have some like static shots of her on the YouTube screen, but, you know, we want that to be reflective of real life and engaging. But I think mostly the way that I approached this was to not show that much of it. you know, this is like, I'm interested in, we all sort of like know what that content looks like, you know, and we'll get like glimpses of headlines and things like in issue one. It's I think it's like, there's a serial killer in my town and nobody believes me. Just like very attention grabby headline. And I think you understand like the kind of content that she's offering. So I was much more interested in focusing in the off camera time of, you know, the things that she is trying to present to the world versus what her actual life is like, which is a very average, seemingly pretty miserable, life that she's desperate to get out of. You know, I wanted to focus on the real life aspects behind the content creator aspects, if that makes sense.
Otherwise,
you know, if we're doing something that is on the internet, hopefully we can do it in like a fun, creative way. For example, in issue one moment that I really love is there's a moment where she's getting a bunch of comments and they just kind of, you know, the letterer just stacks them on the page. And I think that's like a fun use of technology as a visual aesthetic.
Well, and I think that's difficult to do. And it's funny how often it rings false in a comic book. And to be clear, I don't think it rang false at all in your comic. Mm-hmm. Like, it all seemed very seamless there. But it's tricky to get that sort of social media stuff in there. It feels like, I spend all day on this, but that's not what that looks like.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, it's going to look dated in 5 years, probably, mm-hmm. you know, which is always a struggle. But I do think there's value in capturing the current moment as it exists, you know, especially within a story, which feels like more and more the only like historical documents we're going to have at some point, like the rendering of how things were drawn in the present versus like how they're being portrayed in the future. Yeah. Anyway, but.
Oh, I was just going to ask if you're put any thought to having a companion podcast for the comic book.
Oh man, I think that would be hilarious. I just want to not have to do anything for it.
Yeah, that's
as you know, as a producer of a podcast, you know how much work it is. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I just like editing one episode of a podcast would take me a week. You know, so.
All right. So I guess that's a no. Let's talk about the art a little bit since we touched on that. You've got, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing anybody's name, but you've got art by Valeria Berzo, colors by Inaki Azpiazu. Azpiazu? Is that okay?
I haven't said his name out loud, and I apologize.
All right. Well, I apologize as well, because the colors are great and the art is great. You know, this is a very typical question for this sort of thing, but obviously you're creating the script. Once you start to get it back, how is that impacting how you're writing these characters going forward?
I would say a pretty big impact. Valeria, I've been a huge fan of her work for a long time, you know, followed her on Instagram and stuff. And what's really funny is that I commissioned her for something separate, mm-hmm. like within 2 weeks of getting this job and then learning that Valeria was also going to be the artist. So it seemed like kismet, I guess. But she's just so good at quote unquote acting, you know, facial expressions and body gestures and things like that, that it's kind of frees you up a little bit more to try some more nuanced moments, I think, in terms of comic book emotion expression and acting. So I think in issues, like issues 2 and 3, maybe you'll see a little bit of that reflected. I don't know. It's hard for me to be to be objective at this point, but I do feel like after this art started coming back, I felt like more comfortable giving her more challenging emotions, mm-hmm. because this obviously is a story that doesn't really ride one line or the other. It's kind of emotionally an emotional wild card, I would say.
What's it like getting in the headspace of a serial killer?
Not great. I mean, it's not awesome, but I would say what helped the most was just reading, reading the good of the true crime. You know, I revisited like Zodiac, for example, Anne Rule, who gets a shout out in the book. I read The Stranger Beside Me. And so it's not so much like trying to live in a serial killer's mindset, but at least understanding, like, as best as we can, how we perceive that they operate. Mm-hmm. But also I think it's important. I don't want to say like I'm trying to humanize him in any way, because he's certainly a piece of garbage. And, but I do think it's also important to reflect that the people in his life or his situations, just to give everyone the full context of everything that's happening, like inside, like, which I guess kind of could also bring up the question of nature versus nurture. But I think showing those things together, hopefully by the end of the series, will put you one step closer to the answer. I don't know if that made any sense.
No, I think it made sense. And these are, I'm forgetting the exact number of issues. Is it three issues or they're three shorter issues, series, right?
But it's three issues, but they're all oversized. So issue one is 40 pages and then two and three are each 30 pages.
How does that change the rhythm? Because usually you're working in like a 20, maybe 25 page issue.
Yeah, that was a challenge, to be honest, because it's like we have a fairly big story to tell and you have to do it in three acts, essentially, right? Like each issue has to be distinct in its own way, but still building on the last chapter. So that was actually a little tough to get my head around at first. But then it was really a great opportunity to kind of stretch out a little bit, you know, once we have like, okay, this is issue one. Then like actually pacing issue one itself was kind of nice because I had so much more, many more pages to work with than I'm used to.
This is going back to the beginning, but were there any guardrails in terms of, hey, this is what IDW crime is, or was it more about just finding the right story and going with it?
So the way that this worked was they had a premise, which was an influencer helps a serial killer build his brand. I was like, okay, that's a great premise. And so then basically it fell to me to develop that with input from the IDW team along the way. excuse me. And my pitch was essentially like, you know, tonally it's Nightcrawler meets American Psycho, but also maybe some Natural Born Killers, you know, just like really grounded, realistic characters in terms of the world that they operate in, but just like doing highly questionable things. And I think that's the tone that we were going for. And I think they were on board.
Cool. I did want to ask you about something else while I have you. You are doing a Power Rangers title for Boom.
I am.
What can you tell us about that?
I can tell you it is a dream come true. It's been so much fun. Power Rangers Unlimited, I'm co-writing with Kenny Porter. Alessio Zano is doing the first issue. And issue zero comes out on Free Comic Book Day / Comics Giveaway Day. I'm very excited about. But what I can tell you about the series is that this is us dumping out the toy box and just going crazy. It's every Ranger ever is on the board. Every issue is going to be sort of like its own a different genre while telling one larger story and mixing and matching teams from all the Power Rangers eras. So it's truly like, if you asked me 15 years ago, like, what's your dream comics gig when you're starting out on this wild comics ride, it would be Power Rangers Unlimited for sure. And comes out the same day as Killer Influences number one.
Do you have any plans? Are you going to head to a comic book shop or just sort of like stand next to be like, wow, both these titles look very good?
Yeah, I'm going to put on the hard sell, just go around all around Maine and hand sell them to people. No, I'll go to my local comic shop here. It's called Midcoast Comics. They're great. Maybe do a little signing there. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Joey, before I let you go, anything else you want to plug? Obviously, these are two big things we talked about, but anything else folks should check out?
I would encourage you to also check out the other IDW crime books, Seven Wives and Fixation. They're going to be awesome, and I'm so excited to be a part of this launch. I love crime comics. I love the crime genre, so I hope we get more of it.
Yeah. For a second there, I thought you were going to say, I love crime, which would have taken this in a very different direction.
You know, never say never, but
if the comics thing doesn't work out, there's always options.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks,
there's
Joey.
Always crime.
There's always crime. Thanks for coming on, Joey.
Thank you.
Sleeping hot? Waking up sweaty at 2 a.m.? It's not you, it's your sheets. And Care Aloha is your answer. They're the original for bamboo sheets that are naturally breathable, moisture-wicking, and luxuriously soft, designed to keep hot sleepers cool and comfortable all night long. You can feel the difference in how much cooler you sleep. Care Aloha's innovative bamboo fabric pulls heat away from your body so you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer without cranking the AC. Improve your sleep tonight. Shop Care Aloha bamboo sheets now at carealoha.com. That's carealoha.com. Cooler sleep starts with Care Aloha.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork, refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer, or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in, all with the style you want and reliability you can count on, so you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.